In his 60 Minutes interview on Sunday, President-elect Obama described his take on the Big Three. He said that for the auto industry to completely collapse would be a disaster. He wants all the stakeholders in GM, say labor, management, suppliers, lenders, to agree to conditions for federal support. Well, critics of a federal bailout point out that the choice isn't necessarily between federal aid for the big automakers or the disappearance of the U.S. auto industry. Rick Wagoner, the head of GM, has said bankruptcy is not an option. But to Michael E. Levine, a former airline executive who is now a distinguished research scholar and senior lecturer at New York University Law School, it could be the best option for the country's biggest automaker. Welcome to the program, Michael Levine.
Happy to be here.
First, explain the benefit of bankruptcy in GM's case. What would happen to the company?
The very short of it is it goes into court and says, I have all these contracts and commitments left over from when I used to have 50% of the U.S. market. I can't possibly organize myself to support all those with the 20% of the market I have now. Please help me reorganize these by allowing me to reject some of them.
You have some numbers in an article that you wrote for the Wall Street Journal about dealerships, for example, which the total of dealerships is very telling, the difference between the number of GM dealerships and, say, the number of Toyota dealerships.
Yes, it's interesting. They both have approximately the same share of the market at around 20%. GM has 7,000 dealers, partly because it has eight brands all left over from the days when it ruled the market in the United States. Toyota has 1,500 dealers and only three brands. Those dealers can promote the product. They're much less expensive for Toyota to deal with than GM's clumsy apparatus.
Well, why couldn't GM, without going into bankruptcy, why couldn't it say every Cadillac dealership is going to become a Buick Pontiac Cadillac dealership starting tomorrow?
Because it has contracts with all these dealerships, and the dealerships have lobbied for state laws that say you can't modify these contracts or terminate them without going through an incredibly elaborate and expensive procedure. So what you need to do is to make the contracts no longer contracts, and that can only be done in bankruptcy.
So in bankruptcy, GM could rework these relationships with dealers. Obviously, with employees, with retirees as well, they would be?
Yes, to the extent that it has contractual commitments to retirees. Basically, in bankruptcy reorganization, virtually everything is on the table. There are some exceptions in bankruptcy law, and you have to pay the IRS and so on. But the short of it is you can review all of your commitments, your mortgages, your labor contracts, your dealer contracts, all the rest of it, and say, I can't support these. And you make a showing to the court that you can't support them, and the court lets you reject them or modify them.
What do you make of the argument that GM's distress right now has at least as much to do with the credit crunch as it does with GM's failures as an automaker, and therefore it's such a special time we should think differently about bankruptcy?
I think the credit crunch gives the problem a certain immediacy, but the fact is GM's market share has gone from 53 to 20% over the last 45 years. They have been making many cars recently that people didn't want to buy. They have many, many historic costs that they can't support. And GM is a company that has to be rebuilt. And the only way you can rebuild it in a reasonable amount of time and at reasonable cost is in a bankruptcy.
Well, Michael E. Levine, thank you very much for talking with us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Michael E. Levine, who is distinguished research scholar and senior lecturer at New York University Law School. He spoke to us from New York City.